Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the update conference call of KFin Technologies Limited, hosted by IIFL Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Murarka. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good day, all. Thanks for joining this call at a very short notice. We have the management team of KFin Tech, Mr. Srikanth Nadella, who is the MD and CEO, Mr. Vivek Mathur, who is the CFO, and myself, Amit Murarka, as the head IR. I mean, the purpose of this call is basically just to give an update in terms of the transaction that KFin has just signed with Ascent Fund Services. I'll hand over the mic to Mr. Srikanth, to take you through the transaction and the deal. Over to you, Srikanth.
Thank you, Amit. Very good evening, good morning, good afternoon, depending upon which part of the geography you are in. Once again, my sincere thanks for joining on a very short notice. My team would have circulated some content around it. Today marks a very important day, very important and momentous, and a milestone day, if I may, in the overall journey line of KFin Tech. As we have been articulating for a while now, our North Star, our vision had been and will continue to be the first large global fund administrator domiciled in India. In that context, today we have a very important announcement to make, an announcement that we firmly believe is fully aligned, complements and supplements our vision to be one of the world's leading fund administrator over a period of time, delivering significant value to the fund managers, to the entire intermediary ecosystem, delivering through frugal engineering and highly innovative solutions and a workforce while at it. Today we have signed an agreement with Ascent Fund Services, which is based out of Singapore. And I will, over the next 20-25 minutes, walk you through some of the deal dynamics and the rationale as to why we have chosen Ascent and why they too have chosen KFin Tech in this journey line, and we'll leave the floor open for questions subsequent to that. Ascent Fund Services as an organization is 5 years in the making, but probably one of the fastest growing fund administrators across the Asian region and probably even the world in terms of the impressive growth percentages they've clocked. As an organization, it's currently present, or rather the clients are present across 18 different countries, spreading across the continents of Asia, Europe, Americas, and even part of Africa as well. The organization has its financial year starting in the month of July, so it's not necessarily aligned with that of India. But if we were to take the 6 months ending 25, the total revenue that has been clocked is roughly about $13.5 million. With a current run rate of roughly about $1.5 million, it is continuing to grow over 35% year on year. And a fund size, total funds that are being supported by the organization are a little over 576 funds. As an organization, they are a full stack provider. They render transfer agency services, fund accounting services, corporate services and solutions, which I will double down a little bit more, or double click a little bit more, in a little while from now in terms of what does that entail. It's also a fintech company providing fit-for-purpose services in the capital market infrastructure space, much like KFin Tech does today, providing value-added solutions, services through its technology as a component, whether it is data lake solutions, mobility, analytics, cloud solutions, what have you. The overall transaction allows KFin Tech an immediate control stake of about 51% and with a very definitive path to gain 100% ownership over the next 5 years. From our overall investment corpus spend standpoint, we are committed to infuse about close to $30 million as a secondary and $5 million as primary, making the organization valued at $63 million pre-money and about $68 million post-money. And as I said, this $34.7 million gives KFin Tech a 51% control as and when the infusion of cash happens. The transaction itself will take anywhere between 3 to 4 months in our opinion, given this is a highly regulated business. Both the entities, Ascent and KFintech, has to take approvals from relevant regulators. So if it is KFintech, it is from SEBI, PFRDA, what have you, and if it is Ascent, from the regulator's office, from Singapore, from Hong Kong, and other parts of the world, where they are currently domiciled and delivering the services at this point in time. Post the investment, it will have, the three founders of Ascent and KFintech to be the principal shareholders. I will explain to you in a little while from now in terms of their current, the shareholding structure of this entity. The remaining 49%, KFintech is poised to acquire from the year FY 28, 29 and 30. In the franchise of 16.3% each, that gets us to 49%, and we would get 51% at the time of infusement of cash, and hence, we get to total 100% by end of fiscal year FY 30. The valuation for the outer years is contingent and dependent on the performance by the organization, business performance in terms of margins, EBITDA to be more specific. And overall, we believe that the transaction is highly accretive for our organization and definitely to add significant value to the entire ecosystem. We are looking at closing the transaction sometime between July and August 2025. As I said, post this signatures which have happened today, we will immediately be proceeding with the downstream steps in terms of reaching out to the regulators onto the next steps. I will, over the next few minutes, give a quick glance in terms of Ascent Fund Services as an organization. As I said, it's headquartered in Singapore, started in 2019. Fund Solutions and Services, which is basically a fund administrator job, primarily that of what KFintech does today, houses really about 92% of their total revenue. Corporate Solutions is largely, solutions in terms of, whether it is financial statements preparation, items around data, items around certain advisory services which are at a corporate level, data stack, all of that basically adds about another 8.5% to the total, revenue book, that is the corporate solutions. Fintech solutions are pretty small at this point in time, probably about 0.5%, but holds a significant amount of promise into the coming years. I would explain to you in terms of what exactly falls within that. Primarily, it could be a fit-for-purpose services, whether it is just rendering, KYC solutions or anti-money laundering, screening solutions to analytics, so on and so forth. These fintech solutions, unlike in India, are largely decoupled in the rest of the world from the RTA services and hence offers us a great opportunity to look at various other fund houses who may not necessarily be our clients at this point in time, but are very happy to extend immediately, fintech, type of activities from a scope of servicing standpoint. As an organization, Ascent is, globally, spread out. 23 offices cutting across 13 different countries with a fair bit of delivery happening between India and Malaysia. And, of course, you have sales and account management functions residing in the local offices in the various other 23 or other 13 countries that I'm talking about. It is also very exciting to note that they have 6 licenses across Middle East, whether it is DIFSC or, with ADGM. Definitely, of course, in Singapore and Hong Kong and IFSC within the GIFT City and, looking to expand into other geographies, as we speak. Totally 576 funds live at this point in time, managing the total assets under administration to the tune of $24 billion. These numbers are all as of H1 of fiscal 25 for the client, for Ascent Fund Services. From a fund domicilization also, it's a very, nicely spread out in terms of our own, corporate objectives in terms of how we intend to scale up our global fund administration business. Singapore continues to be the single largest base as they are, headquartered there. Cayman Islands, has, another 25% of the total number of funds domiciled in that part of region and, serviced through a combination of onshore and offshore locations. Saudi Arabia, BVI structures, occupy the remaining, 20-odd percent of, the geography spread out, if I may. And just as well as the geographical spread out is also the spread out of asset mix, the private equity, the VC, the RE, high-frequency funds, they occupy roughly about 40% of the total asset mix. and another little over a third of that being occupied by the hedge funds, and the rest of 25% through digital funds, which is a combination of whether it is tokenized solutions or whether it is unitized partial REITs in which what have you, and including crypto. So that's a very interesting mix of asset classes. And if you see it spectacularly complements that of KFin's solutions. As you all know, KFin is largely a mutual fund player, largely public market funds, and largely an RTA player. And what Essent offers is diagrammatically opposite, but a complementing mix of both the type of assets, the type of business services, and the geographies where they are currently servicing. Right. As I said, from a revenue standpoint, for the fiscal year FY24, they ended with about $13+ million in revenue. And the current run rate is roughly about $1.5 million, which means that we have a line of sight, even based on just the current run rate, to be over $18 million of revenue on an annualized basis. The recurring nature of the revenue is a very important facet of our business. Again, much like KFintech, 92-93% of the total revenues are recurring in nature. And the gross margins, which are healthy in the context of nascent this organization is just 5 years into it, already getting to about 52% plus gross margins is a very healthy indicator in terms of the scale and the productivity the organization is able to deliver. Purely on the margin standpoint, continue to clock losses, but at velocity which is decreasing quite dramatically. For the fiscal year FY24, it ended with pretty much a marginal loss of, at an EBITDA level of 0.7 million, but has turned positive in the first half of FY25. So that clearly is a path from 30-odd% negative EBITDA already turning positive, and with a whole lot of synergies and the scale benefits that will start to accrue from here on, we expect quicker turnaround in terms of the margins as well. As an organization, it's largely in terms of the relationship. It's at a business class level, every type of asset, every business process, whether it is fund administration, transfer agency. In fact, Essent offers some more additional solutions and services even when compared to KFintech, especially on the advisory services, in the upstream activities, fund setup, right, which is a very important aspect of it. Whereas KFin today, as you know, broadly starts once the fund setup happens, largely from an operations standpoint. So purely from a value chain as well, it is one step beyond what we currently add, and hence it's a hugely complementary item, one that obviously we intend to leverage for our expansion from a KFintech standpoint as well. And a very good, strong, broader market connectivity the organization has, which is important, obviously. Like us, it's very important to be able to be have a large scale integrations with most number of custodians, and being regulated by so many different entities of different countries, while it comes with its own cost, but definitely adds a whole lot of confidence to every single client as they understand and realize that as an organization, we have been delivering spectacular job in terms of being compliant with every single transaction, every single scheme, fund, house level, and at every geography level broadly. Right. So the 13 countries, we will publish probably a little bit more detailed note, but broadly, as I said, much of that is today between is Southeast Asia and Cayman Islands. Middle East is very promising geography in terms of obviously the potential that it has, and more importantly being one of the early mover advantage that we have as an organization. It is a full a full stack service and solutions. The overall leadership itself, while the organization is just about 5 years old, I think the leaders who have built this organization have nearly two decades long expertise being in the same field. Largely the founders have come from backgrounds of being with Apex and Deutsch and Citco and so on and so forth, and the entire team is very fit for purpose, team which fully understands the structures across the globe, and the leadership providing the right kind of direction, as they are subject matter experts themselves, having come from this very industry, managing the funds. what exactly Ascent's role in terms of today, much like that of KFintech, it has been providing a very credible alternative to larger fund administrators as they have their own margin pressures, as they have challenges in terms of go-to-market, how quickly can a tech solution be brought up, how quickly can a fund be set up and be serviced, and the cost at which it's getting rendered. I have in my past quarterly updates to this community have always explained in terms of the opportunity that lies ahead for us in the global markets, and this is exactly the proof of pudding that I'm talking about in terms of how quickly an organization could scale up from 0 to 575 funds across multiple countries and turn profitability, right? And how exactly will it complement KFintech to now be a force multiplier? And as, I guess the cliched saying goes, 1 plus 1, it's not 2. We intend to make it at least, 10, if not 20. And that's exactly, what we believe is going to happen into the coming years. Handling, the complexity at a regulatory level for the fund manager is also getting incrementally challenging as they have setups across multiple geographies. And at an investor level, they would always look to have a roll-up view. And to that extent, having a singular fund administrator is a very critical step in the direction. And that is a need in the market, which we will be able to bridge in times to come. So the three solutions that I called out, I'll just do a little bit of a deep dive into each of those. The fund solutions is very similar to what we offer today, KFintech in India and other parts of the world, but in mutual funds is where we offer. Here, these are definitely private markets, and their scope also includes public markets, but it's largely the pre-launch support, the entire fund administration side moving from order management to mid-office settlement processes into NAV computations. Into the RTA side, investor onboarding, and the entire investor servicing that we do here, the tax reporting aspect as well, right? So as I said, this is the biggest section in terms of the revenue, contributing to over 92%. The corporate solutions, is an area which something is refreshingly different, but something that is offered, if I may, by the global fund administrators, and hence we believe this is a very important arrow in our quiver that we would, even as KFintech, we would kind of embrace these into the public market funds as, we would, expand organically as well. So that includes, whether it is corporate accounting, the statement preparations, much of the geographies need XBRL standard filings that need to happen, from a data-to-data integration, secretarial functions, so on and so forth. The tech and analytics solutions is, I've already spoken about, purely on the onboarding side of it, eKYCs, anti-money laundering, screening activities, so on and so forth. And this is right now the smallest section, but again, very, very exciting prospect. Happy to inform that recently they have signed, a deal with a very large bank in Singapore to offer KYC screening as a solution, which itself is a multi-million dollar opportunity on an annualized basis and something that the organization intends to scale up as a separate vertical in a much larger manner into the coming years. I'll just take a few seconds to explain in terms of the licenses they have, right, and for what topic, right? Singapore, of course, the governing body is ACRA, and then Ascent started in 2019 in Singapore after securing its license from ACRA, largely from a secretarial standpoint. Moved into Hong Kong, Gift City, of course, they are there. We were competitors, but obviously we will have synergies from here on, and I'll talk about the kind of synergies we intend to get from here on. ADGM for Abu Dhabi specifically for fund administration, and ADGM is also the governing body when it comes to all of UAE from being a corporate service provider. Corporate service provider, I already explained to you in terms of the scope of services that we have. Mauritius and Dubai, all these licenses already being there, and Dubai being the latest in terms of the license, that they have secured. And of course, from a physical presence and or, a client support, definitely much of Asia that includes Singapore, Hong Kong, Taiwan, Malaysia, so on and so forth, including Marshall Islands and Australia. On the Western Hemisphere, as you move towards, you will have U.S., some funds. Cayman Islands is large, for the setup already nearly about 23% of the total funds being there. UK, Jersey, so on and so forth, some of the contents there in the slide where I wouldn't belabor much, except to tell you that these dots on the map, gave us, a great confidence in terms of the leadership's ability to scale up an organization across jurisdictions, across the globe, across fund types, and whilst being extremely prudent in terms of the commercials, with a very firm focus on driving the profitable growth as against an irrational expansion across the globe. The leaders themselves, Kaushal Mandalia is the chairman, you know, ex-Apex, Credit Suisse and BNP, CEO Jaideep Mukharia and Samuel Chen, you know, again, ex-Goldman Sachs and Citco, all of them are subject matter experts and entrepreneurs par excellence, so, you know, who have built this organization, and then, you know, they have, you know, very long, you know, career ahead of them, you know, given their age profile at this point in time. As an organization, given it is largely still operations work, nearly about two-thirds of the organization is ops, of which more than half is domiciled in India, and about 20-30% is domiciled in Malaysia. The rest of them are largely, you know, tech, data scientists, account management, and sales organizations. But as you could see, overall, a near $18 million of revenue is being delivered by a total headcount of no more than 200 people. So the revenue per employee obviously is, you know, significantly higher, you know, metric, you know, as compared to even an organization like ours. But that's largely a factor of, you know, dealing with the public funds versus private funds in terms of the volumes that we have. Right. I will continue in terms of the some, you know, broad KPIs in terms of the growth. You know, if you see Ascent's growth in terms of the total number of funds, they had about 200 funds in 2022, obviously zero in 2019. The 200 has now become 576 as of the first half of, you know, that ends on January 2025, which is 3 months back. And this number obviously is higher, you know, as we speak today. That marks, you know, near over 60% CAGR in terms of the number of funds, and purely in terms of revenue, a 34% CAGR growth, which is pretty impressive. Important call out here, of course, is something we're also impressed with is the minimum revenue model, right, which means that irrespective of the size of the fund, there is a definitive amount of revenue that the organization would accrue. And obviously, once it crosses the threshold, you know, the basis points, you know, at that point in time would kick in. So our growth obviously is now going to be, you know, driven on both the aspects of it. Funds where the AUM is below the threshold, as they grow the threshold, obviously the AUM base fee will come. And the new client acquisition, as you have seen, growing over, you know, 60% CAGR, you know, adds, you know, immediate revenue as and when the new funds get added into this equation. Totally, assets under administration also has moved dramatically from about, you know, $7 million in 2022, now as of January 25 to $24 billion under assets. And the EBITDA movement as well has been, you know, very heartwarming, you know, now already having turned the corner in January 2025. I've called out some of the rationale as to why, you know, KFintech was intentful of it. I think, you know, our steer was, you know, from day one very clear, you know, to be a global fund administrator. The total, you know, book in terms of, you know, the fund administrators, what is available in the public domain itself is over $12 to $13 billion. But if you count captively held and large bank-based, you know, fund administration solutions that are being rendered, it is over a $30+ billion revenue across the globe, and clearly, you know, KFins or any Indian fund administrator's share of that pie is, you know, practically zero, right? And, you know, this gives us the, you know, first footprint into that. And, you know, it also helps us to diversify, you know, KFintech's risks as, you know, we've been pretty vocal over dependency only on mutual funds in India. Whilst, you know, we believe that, you know, both mutual funds and India will continue to grow, but financial services is always a cyclical, you know, story. And diversification is extremely important, and, you know, it helps KFintech to be able to diversify its revenue pool. So it today the fund services, the global fund services for KFin is roughly about 5% of the total revenue pool. With this acquisition, we'll move close to 20% plus of the revenue coming only from the global fund services, and reducing the dependency on India mutual funds, you know, to close to about, you know, 50 to 53% or thereabouts. And, you know, obviously, you know, a significant amount of understanding and insights into the ways of working of various other private market funds. And, you know, that's the knowledge that, you know, we will gain. And there is a significant amount of, you know, technological support that we'll be able to extend, you know, in terms of the synergies. Licenses is always, you know, a tough job. It's a highly time-consuming activity. having starting with already, you know, 6-odd licenses is greatly beneficial. And with the combined might of KFin's balance sheet strength and its credibility and track record with that of Ascent, we'd like to believe that, you know, we can grow the rest of the geographies and the licensing part of it much faster and much stronger. Always acquisitions are all about people, and you know, as had been the case with every acquisition that KFintech had done, the leaders will continue to lead the organization. They are highly inspired, more, you know, individuals, and they're also highly incentivized from the standpoint of, you know, making this business, you know, growing multifold in years to come. There is a meeting of minds, young organizations, you know, both KFin and Ascent from a management standpoint, and like to believe that in time to come, these two will become a force multiplier and not just a pure mathematics and the non-human element of it, if I may. The transaction structure, too, helps KFintech in terms of, you know, the cash management effectively at 51% stake and about $34 million, you know, 300 crores of cash outflow. We will be funding it entirely from our internal accruals, so this is not a leveraged you know, transaction. Our internal accruals will take care of. As of 31st December 2024, as you are aware, we have about 570 crores of cash. And this transaction, as I said, is about 300 crores, notwithstanding the accruals we would have made in the last 3 years. 3 months, my apologies. The remaining 16.33%, as I said, would be in the fiscal year 28, 29, and 30 at the end of those years. And even that, too, would be you know, nearly entirely be through the internal accruals with no leverage, you know, being baked into it. Quickly speaking about the, you know, the synergies that we have, as I said, synergies in the form of KFin's presence and its capabilities on public market funds is, you know, very, very large, as is also evidenced by our own growth in Southeast Asia. And Ascent's presence in many countries beyond, you know, Asia helps us to have a foot in the door, including their own clientele in the public market funds. So that's a synergy that KFin would get by virtue of Ascent's presence across the globe and their, I would admit, you know, a superior sales network, if I may, as against, you know, what we have built thus far. Likewise, you know, Ascent also will significantly gain with the larger you know, balance sheet strength of KFin, its technological provinces. KFintech today has over 1,500, you know, consummate technology professionals creating, you know, some of the best and cutting-edge technologies in the world. And, you know, Ascent would stand to gain in a significant manner with that. We also believe a massive amount of synergies, you know, hopefully, you know, in the next 3 to 4 months, we should start unraveling those in the context of KFintech signing up with BlackRock as its preferred partner for Aladdin. And the strengths of Ascent combined with the platform capabilities and the global reach of BlackRock and, you know, KFin's own abilities hopefully, you know, will start seeing fruition in the coming months as well. As a business, today Ascent largely leverages third-party platforms to be able to render services. One of the big synergy items, you know, that we will be exploring in the coming, you know, weeks and months would be about leveraging KFintech's own platforms as against third-party platforms, which would further, you know, optimize at a cost level and also would make KFin's platform, you know, a globally relevant platform, right, in real quick time, even as we are still largely India and Asia-centric. Hopefully this will become a platform to reckon with into the rest of the world as we move. I will take, I think I pretty much concluded what I wanted to speak about this acquisition. I will take a pause here and hand it over to Amit and probably leave the floor open for questions.
Sure, thanks. Thanks, Srikanth. Yeah, so we'll open the floor, you know, for the Q&A.
Thank you, gentlemen. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Supritam Datta from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Firstly, I wanted to understand that, you know, now that you have, you know, Ascent as a platform, you have Hexagram as a platform as well. So how would you, you know, manage the two different leadership teams, or, you know, how would the responsibilities be divided so that you can retain both the leadership teams? So if you could give us some color on that, you know, what are the plans of, you know, retaining both the leadership teams? So, you know, how do you integrate both these platforms? You know, that if you could give some color on that, that also will be very helpful. Because I wanted to understand that, you know, in Southeast Asia, which platform do you sell now? Is it Hexagram or is it Ascent Fund? We, you know, in you know, for the deal, you know, drinking part of the 49% that will happen over 28, 29 and 30, wanted to understand what would be the deal metric for that. Is it EV by sales or EV by EBITDA? If you could give some color on that, that also would be very helpful. Thank you.
Thanks, Supratim. Great questions. So the first one, I want to clarify, Ascent Fund Services is not a platform company. Hexagram is a platform company. There is no competition. There is no competing platforms. Ascent today leverages, I've already called out, third-party platforms to render services. Think of it as a scenario where, you know, a company, a mutual fund company today takes KFintech's platform and renders services by putting their own employees, right? So that's the model Ascent has. So there is absolutely no competition. This is complementing. Ascent today uses third-party platform, puts its own people, render services. Hexagram has its own platform and does not render services today. So in fact, it is not competing, it is actually complementing, because one of the synergies that we intend to drive into the coming quarters as we move ahead is to see the fitment of Hexagram's platform into the services that Ascent renders today, and hence over time replace the third-party platform they use with Hexagram. Right. So to that extent, you know, it's not competing. It's, you know, highly supplementing and complementing. Second, the metrics in terms of today, if you see, you know, the first math is very evident, right, at a 63, you know, mil valuation. You know, it is basically under 4x the revenue, right, from a multiple standpoint, you know, on the investment. Into the years 3, 4, and 5, the metric that we have agreed would be on the business performance at EBITDA level. And the numbers obviously will be driven by, you know, by the company, and the number can fluctuate depending upon their performance. Obviously, they are more incentivized for a much higher EBITDA level that they would be delivering to.
Does that answer your question, Shubhadeep? Shubhadeep, are you there? We'll move on to the next question that comes from the line of Abhijit Sakari from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Shrikant, just on the previous point that you made, Ascent then gives you like a geographical presence across all of these markets. And in that sense, just wanted to understand, when you look at the realizations, right, about 7-8 basis points, the headline simple math, wanted to sort of get a breakdown of, you know, what would be, let's say, a simple, you know, cost of revenues or the underlying cost of the product itself, right? And then the rest of the cost overheads in terms of employees, you know, offices and rest of it.
Hey, Abhijit. Yeah, so the gross margins, you know, called out is roughly about 52% at this point in time, right? You know, cutting across all the three business lines. And that gross margin will expand, obviously, as the AUMs of the fund houses and the funds that Ascent is already servicing. So if it is a continual growth only based on new new fund addition, obviously, you know, there is going to be a commensurate, you know, non-linear cost addition, if I may, right, for each of those funds. But the growth coming from any of the existing funds always give you, you know, much significant, you know, significantly higher, you know, operating leverage, if I may. So to that extent, I, you know, I would see the gross margins moving from, you know, 52% to about, you know, 60% plus in the near to medium term, which gets it, you know, somewhere near to KFintech, you know, though we are at a higher level. In terms of the admin overheads, what have you saw the total team size? It's extremely small, just about 200 people. Outside of the operations, and the technology, it's largely just the sales organization. And again, for a growing company, it's always going to be continual investments in terms of opening new geographies or, new business development expenditure, what have you. You will not be able to see, a firm margin contribution, much like how KFintech, is. Now we are 35 years in the making and they're 5 years into it. And if you were to relate this to our global fund services, you would see the same situation there, which is effectively that, as we win a fund, for the first few quarters, there is only cost, but no commensurate revenue. But the advantage with Essent model, unlike KFin's model, is because these are all private funds, the transition or the setup time is very, very limited. It can be anywhere between few weeks to a month, as against our transitions, which can range anywhere between 6 to 9 months. So I'd expect the cost of operation to, keep coming down and hence contribute more into the gross margins into the coming quarters.
Got that. And secondly, when we look at Essent's progress or journey, it's kind of phenomenal that in the last 5 years, they've been able to build a $24 billion AUM business. But in some ways, it also tells you that, relationships probably, matter more than the underlying platform, because these guys have built it up using third-party platforms. So in that context, wanted to get a sense how easy would it be to replace existing platforms? How sensitive are underlying clients? Do they get to pick those platforms, or they're basically agnostic and the underlying product itself is not visible to the end clients, and that's how you can basically pull out the older ones and replace it with KFin? And subsequently, some time frames around this journey, and what would it mean in terms of profit margins or profit growth?
Yeah, no, absolutely excellent question. So it is definitely a combination. It would be imprudent to single out only relationship as the basis or only the platform as the basis. I would put a combination of a relationships, platform, and most important of all is the expertise that the teams bring into this, right? And I think, ability to understand the client requirements and understand how it fits into the platform's capabilities. And remember, you need to work with a third-party platform to make customizations, because alternatives is a highly bespoke product, unlike mutual funds. So our ability or anybody's ability to not just understand, the platform, but look at the client requirements and also triage who is the third party platform, customize it, keep it ready and go live and, be very swift in terms of go to market and deliver all of this at a significantly lower cost as compared to the competition is something that is definitely the secret sauce the secret sauce behind this growth. Can the third-party platform be replaced and will the client really care about it? I suppose it will be horses for courses. There will be few who may be fussed about it. It depends on, who the corresponding operations lead on at that fund houses. If they are more familiar and more, comfortable with the fund admin platform they are using, they may want us to stick to it. But as always, there are very many fund managers who are dispassionate, about the platform because they only look at the service and the outcome end of the day. So we believe that we will find, as we do the gap assessment, a certain set of people, for whom, we will over a period of time replace probably the third party with our own custom-made platform. For some, it might continue. And for larger funds, even the third party they use today, or KFin's Empower, for example, may not meet the requirements, and for them, probably, the platinum standard of only Aladdin might work, right? And that is where we are going to be a multi-tenant platform service provider. We will be agnostic of the platform. We will create our own platform nevertheless. We will build the solution and service which best befits the requirements of the client. Remember, it's always about the client and what is the best we can deliver to them, keeping their comfort close to mind, and delivering a value, proposition, which is a significant cost reduction for them, whilst continuing to deliver, a margins that, we are more familiar and, cognizant with KFin. How long will it take? As I said, the transaction itself is, 3 odd months away, and we are not waiting for that to happen. Our conversations internally in terms of doing fit gap assessment of what Hexagram's platform can provide versus what the current third-party providers are there at in terms of the maturity scale and the subsequent changes that are required, so on and so forth, is an activity we will start immediately. It's too little, I guess it's a bit premature at this moment in time, I'm sure, for me to comment about the timelines as to when we will start actually replacing our platform, or rather their platform, with ours at some point in time.
Got it. And I'll just squeeze one more, Srikant.
Sorry to interrupt Abhijit. I would request you to rejoin the queue if you have any further questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
A reminder to all participants, please restrict yourself to two questions. And if you have any more questions, you may rejoin the queue. The next question comes from the line of Dipanjan Ghosh from Citi Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. Just a few questions from my side. If you can give some color on the revenue concentration, let's say the top 10 or top 50 funds in within Ascent's mix. This was one of the questions asked by one of the previous participants in terms of the employee retention strategies. So, as I understand that over a course of, let's say the next 5 to 6 years, the founders would have broadly monetized their stake, and maybe the ESOPs, if any, of the top management also would have, kind of got utilized. So what makes you believe that, that you can really retain them? Will there be any employee retention program, ESOP program, or one-time payouts that comes along 3 years from now when you kind of go in for the remaining tranches? And last question is on the realizations. While it is currently at around 7.5 basis points, it seems around 23 or maybe a year prior, it was around double digits. So what is really driving this moderation? Is it acquisition of large clients or going into different sort of clients out there?
All right. Sure. Thanks a lot for that. Three questions. The first one, in terms of the revenue concentration, you've seen the total funds being serviced is 576 funds across $24 billion, giving roughly about $17 to $18 million as revenue. This isn't concentration where, top two, top five can have a very heavy weightage in terms of the total revenue. This is a highly secular spread of revenue across, almost all of these fund houses. So the biggest client would not be contributing more than 1.5 to 2% of the revenue, right? So in fact, that was one of the important parameters for us in terms of our evaluation criteria as well. We did not see any concentration risk in that angle. In terms of the leadership retention, as you've seen over the last 5-6 years since we started acquiring, and in fact even going back to 7 years when we first acquired Deutsche Bank's RTA in Malaysia, which is the foundation for us to do our global fund services today in Asia. The leadership of every organization we have acquired thus far, 100% of them have stayed back. They have all thrived and prospered themselves, both personally as well as contributed to the organizational growth. That comes from, the acquiring company's culture and its ability to integrate and assimilate, various personalities into the organization. Right-size the incentivization structure, as you have seen even in this case, year 3, year 4, and year 5. Year 5 is when the last tranche of payouts would happen. So obviously there is a minimum 5 years, of an ongoing leadership presence. We obviously have already started conversations from our HR, into understanding as a part of the cultural integration component, their compensation structures, their motivations, so on and so forth, as has been the case with all other founders whom, KFintech has acquired. There would be ongoing incentivization in the form of ESOPs for the combined entity. The quantum, et cetera, of course, is not something that we need to discuss at this point in time, but fair to say that, that would be there as an incentivization. But that said, take a look at the disposition of the founders themselves, right? And I think, with the combined intent of both of us together trying to create, one of its kind entity across the globe, it is more than just the monetary component that had always been driving KFintech and, its subsidiaries. And I'm very confident that will be the same here as well. Quickly addressing your point on the basis points, I think sometime around September, October, the organization has acquired a client in Saudi, Al-Bilad, and that particular was the first client in terms of expanding its scope of operations. It added a significant amount of AUA, nearly about $5 billion on a point-to-point basis. That's why you would see a jump from 19 to about $24 billion. But that happened nearly at the end of the year, which means that you do not have a full year's revenue baked in the revenue, but the point-to-point AUA has been baked in. And hence, when you divide the revenue over the AUA, it appears as there has been a drop in basis points, but that is just merely, that's merely simply because of the timing gap. So basically, it is not 7, it is higher than 7. Let me put it that way.
Got it. Thank you for the detailed explanation and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Aman Dugar from Nuvama Wealth. Please go ahead. Hello, Aman, are you there? In case of, yeah, if you are on mute, I would request you to unmute yourself. Since there is no response from Aman, we'll move to the next participant. That would be Uday Pai from InvestSec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thanks for the opportunity. Most of the questions have been asked. Just one question. The 52% kind of gross margin that you mentioned, is it largely the cost side of it? Is it largely the platform cost or any other cost are included in the gross margin calculations?
It's platform and people, the operations people.
Platform. Okay, that's it from us.
This is Vivek. I just want to add on to what Shrikant mentioned. The platform cost is minuscule. It's just about 5% of the expenses. The bulk of the cost comes from employee cost and other expenses related to infrastructure.
Okay. So the platform cost is just 5% of the 48% expenses, right?
Total expenses, yes.
Okay.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Prayesh Jain from Motilal Oswal Finance Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just a couple of questions. Firstly, so is it fair to assume that the realizations are about in the 12 to 14 bits kind of realization? That question number one. Second is, does this acquisition impact your if it gets added, it's kind of margin and earnings that you took to you, in sense that from a percentage basis, as it turns profitable, it'll add to your overall profitability. But from margin percentage perspective. And third would be, given that, these are primarily in the alternates business, are these the 500 plus scheme funds, are these funds or are these schemes? And these schemes would have a limited life and you would have to kind of keep looking at the business again, acquiring schemes. Or is it the fund house which kind of handles multiple schemes and the fund house kind of takes up with just one partner? So I'm trying to understand that whether you're doing scheme-wise or this is either funds and sustainable like an MF business where you once you get into a MF entity, you kind of continue to do the business forever. And those are my three questions.
Sure. Thank you. So the first answer, reasonably binary, it's not 12, 14, it's not 7. The number is closer to 10 basis points on the realized yield. In terms of, margin dilution, clearly, as you've seen, it already has turned a bit of positive and into the coming months and quarters, hopefully, the margin expansion will happen. Clearly, it is not at the same margin level as KFintech is. So to that extent, obviously, for a shorter period of time, as the organization gets that far, and then we start realizing our own synergies, so there will be a further cost takeout as we start consolidating office space, technology, you know, shared service functions, and you know, replacement of platforms, what have you. So we would expect a faster, you know, path to, you know, margin contribution at the similar levels as KFintech is. So clearly at that point in time, it would contribute to even, you know, higher, hopefully, the margins than even what KFintech does today. But obviously, till such a point in time, it will be a number that will keep, you know, tracking, you know, to get to KFintech numbers and being slightly higher over the next, you know, bunch of quarters, probably 2 years at best. In terms of the 576, those are schemes, are not funds. I want to clarify that. The total number of fund houses are close to about 263, 264 fund houses. These numbers are as of Jan. Obviously, these numbers have expanded. It is also possible, like you suggested, that, you know, the schemes, you know, can get closed. But even from a fund house standpoint, as you could see, the ratio is nearly 1 to 2. For every fund house, we have just about, you know, 2 odd schemes. And it's not, you know, in some cases it will be higher. In some cases it could just be 1. Again, you know, this is just very, very early days of an organization which is, you know, of the 5 years, probably the first year had just gone in licensing and just setting it act together. And there is COVID in between as well. So a very short period of time, so the kind of traction, you know, they've gained. And based on our own due diligence and assessment we've conducted, I think the, you know, there is a plentitude of fund houses who are keen to join the organization as a client. And also, I just want to call this out, there are many a fund that they could not necessarily tap into in terms of, you know, pitching for RFPs, what have you, and vice versa, you know, those fund houses and funds which are larger in size, if I may, probably would not necessarily have considered, you know, Ascent as the, you know, go-to service provider, largely on the balance sheet strength itself, right? I mean, large fund houses issue, when they issue RFP, they look at your network, they look at the size of the organization, so on and so forth. So by virtue of this acquisition, you know, they will have access to a much, much larger and, you know, a sizably bigger fund houses and fund sizes, you know, as this transaction, you know, consummates.
Just a clarification on that. So when you say the, you know, so a fund house can have multiple of multiple fund administrators and Ascent would be one of them. Is that the fair way to think?
It's not necessary, but it is possible. Okay. It is possible that, see, take a look at even KFintech today, right? I mean, there are fund houses for whom we are the fund administrator for a bunch of funds. Right. In fact, Ascent, you know, as a competitor was also rendering fund administration services to some of the schemes. It could be some other competition of KFin, you know, who could be also there rendering the services. So it depends on the fund house's strategy. You know, some of it is purely because they want to diversify the risk. Some of it's because they probably feel more comfortable in terms of an entity handling, you know, let's say a Cat 3 fund, which is more public market oriented versus a Cat 2, which is where private equity comes into picture. There can be fund houses who are more, you know, intentful of segregating transparency and fund accounting. So it depends on the philosophy of the fund house. It is possible there is more than fund admin, more than one fund administrator in the fund houses that Ascent is currently servicing to. And that actually is a great opportunity for us, right? You know, because in almost all these cases, you know, the, you know, Ascent as an organization had started the services 4 to 5 years back. And, you know, any client would look at a little bit of track record before they start moving away and consolidating, right? Because eventually a fund house would always prefer to have a singular fund administrator to render all services, because from their standpoint, their customer is important. If their customer A has invested in, you know, fund A or in fund B and fund C, they would not want to have different set of services, different set of statements, you know, different experience, if I may, from the fund house to come through. So from their vantage point, they would always prefer one fund administrator. And that for Ascent is a great opportunity to basically have, you know, larger, you know, land and expand model.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question comes from the line of Nidesh from InvestSec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. The first question is that this money that is being used for acquisition is going to the promoters of the company or is it going into the company, target company? And
so
do we expect
nearly $30 million is secondary and $5 million is primary infusion?
Okay. And after this $5 million, there is do you think there will be more requirement of funds for this company or?
per our assessment, they will not be needing much. As I said, they've already turned EBITDA positive. They should soon start cash positive as well. This $5 million primary infusion will clear out a small debt component they have it on that book. And once that goes away, I do not believe there would be any necessity for further cash infusion, on an immediate basis.
Sure. And is it right to assume that the clientele for this target company is mostly venture capital, private equity funds, hedge funds and HFTs, and not the large AMCs like let's say Capital, Aberdeen, etc.? Those are not the clientele for this company. Is that right way to understand?
I wouldn't say so. I mean, okay, if the question is, is today a Capital client or any large fund manager their client, the answer is no. But our intent is definitely to get there, right? And that's the whole point of, our vision to become, if I want to become a global fund administrator to be reckoned with, I will have to start, delivering services to large fund houses. And KFintech does today, right? I mean, we have large fund houses that are clients. Aberdeen, the name that you took, in fact, is my client in Malaysia. Right, and for Ascent to also have large fund houses to be their clients, the synergy between KFintech and them is a very important ingredient in that. Just the balance sheet strength and our credibility, our track record, being a publicly listed company, so on and so forth, will help that entity to start talking to larger fund houses, which so far they focus more on the lower low hanging fruit in terms of smaller fund houses. But in time, definitely to look at large fund houses, because that's how we're going to become a large global fund administrator too.
Sure. And you have also incorporated a subsidiary in Singapore. So that subsidiary will be acquiring the stake in the entity, or it is?
Sorry to interrupt you, Nidesh. I think you're done with your two questions. So I would request you to rejoin the queue if you have any more.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Aman Dugar from Nuvama Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Madhukar Latha here from Nuvama. Thank you for the detailed presentation. Most of my questions have been answered. Just a couple left. First, on the growth trajectory. So the company has done really well in the last sort of 5 years that it's been into existence, and you've got a pretty sizable AUM right now. What sort of growth should we expect over the next 4-5 years? And on the margin side, right now we're breaking even. We already have a sizable India presence, so the whole offshoring and the India angle is already sort of playing out of here. So what should be the big margin driver of for this company, and in terms of numbers, 3-4 years out, what sort of an EBITDA margin should we be looking at? And one final question: see, the clientele, and correct me if I'm wrong, still seems to be more Asia oriented. And would this still mean that you will still be looking for making more acquisitions to grow more in sort of Europe and the US? So those would be my three questions. Thanks.
Understood. Thank you. So the historic growth, had been about 35-36% CAGR. Management's base case is in the similar trajectory into the coming years, and that does not take into account a synergistic model, which is effectively how KFin complementing the strengths that Ascent brings, and how Ascent taking advantage of the strengths that KFin brings will grow together. We believe the number will be higher than that. I do not want to conjecture, but we are confident to at least maintain the current growth trajectory, and with a strong potential upside as the the synergies fructify in time to come. In terms of the overall clients demographic dispersion, The entity was set up in is set up in Singapore, right? And you know, obviously, it is expected that Singapore would definitely be the largest geography, and you know, it continues to be one of the biggest financial hubs in the world. So, and rightfully so. But if, as I explained in the beginning, if you see, Cayman Islands has nearly a quarter of all funds being serviced, right? And in a short period of time, you know, between Cayman, UK, Ireland, US, you know, especially in Jersey, and if you take parts of, I would ignore, you know, Dubai and Abu Dhabi, at least, you know, they're still part of Asia, but at least not Southeast Asia. But even just purely into Europe and Cayman and a combination of US is nearly 30% of the total funds are already based out of Europe. And the question about are we going to look at, you know, further acquisitions, it's too premature. I think, you know, we still have to get this right. It is definitely, you know, one of the larger acquisitions that this organization has done. We will always keep our eyes and ears open, right? But that said, definitely not not of immediate, you know, priority or concern. We looked at Ascent for its capabilities, skills, and its ability to scale up. There is no reason why Ascent, you know, will not be able to scale up in similar fashion in Europe and in US, right, as they have already scaled up in Cayman, for example. On their own with, you know, the strength that KFin offers to the table. We will take a look at it into the coming years, you know, if it makes sense. You know, if there are always assets which are more, you know, stronger in a particular geography, and if that were to add complementary, you know, growth prospects, we will always consider it, but definitely not looking at, you know, so we do not want to just stitch up a coalition of whole bunch of assets and put together. That's not the way we operate in. Our investment philosophy, acquisition philosophy always surmises that we will take KFintech's platform to the world and not just buy out entities which have multiple tech platforms and eventually and over a period of time, you know, drives down your margin because your cost, you know, kind of starts to balloon, which is probably the truth of many, you know, acquisitions that have happened elsewhere in the world in this particular industry.
That just you've not answered the margin question, that over the next 3-4 years, what sort of EBITDA margin should we be looking at? And, you know, what would be the low-hanging fruit in terms of, you know, synergies that you can drive over the next maybe couple of years at least that can help enhance the margin more?
Yeah, no, fair point. Sorry, I missed out on that. On the synergy side, on the margin side, right, I think you're right, nearly about 80-odd people out of the 200 people already are in India, right, and that still leaves about 120, you know, beyond borders. You know, we will obviously have higher concentration of newer headcount addition to happen, you know, from India, for example, right? You know, obviously in the initial stages you will have you know, an onshore-offshore model of 70-30, you know, over a period of time, you know, gravitate towards where we are today, which is about, say, 40 onshore and 60 offshore. And if you see KFintech's global fund services, you know, we are nearly 10:90, right? So 10% onshore and 90% offshore. So clearly there is more scope, right? Just because we have 80 people in India doesn't mean that you do not have greater scope for the payroll optimization, which is what especially the next 50 funds that will be won, for example. Right, the model may be, right, you know, near about 10-90 ratio. So that is one on the payroll side. I've already called out synergies, you know, driving down the operating costs in the form of, you know, collapsing structures around office space, you know, technology, data centers, shared service functions such as, you know, finance and HR and, you know, what have you, licensing, and also at some point in time, potentially, you know, replacing the third-party platforms they have with our Hexagrams platform. So there are plenty full of, you know, opportunities that we have already identified. And, you know, obviously, you know, we have even some numbers put to that. You know, we'll start working on that, you know, as quickly as possible once we're into it. Now, from a pure margin play, as you rightly said, you know, it's just about the broke even and the gross margins are at 52. You know, again, we do not necessarily give guidance, but I do believe that, you know, into the next, you know, by the time the transaction, you know, is fully done, that is over the next 3 to 5 years, I would expect the entity to deliver similar to higher margins than what KFintech does today. Largely, you know, as always, pure mathematically, if you see, the basis points is much higher than, you know, the kind of basis points we enjoy here in India. So that means your unit pricing is definitely, you know, in favor. And from an operational cost dynamic standpoint, you know, with, as you already saw, 576 funds are being supported by 200 people. So it's a very, very different model, and, you know, one where your costs actually are going to be much lower as compared to that of a public market funds, which are, you know, very, very high volume driven.
Just a clarification. So we are saying that Ascent, we can take the margins to like 43-44% EBITDA margin level. That's what like sort of KFin consolidated margins would be. While the current international business segment is probably operating at about 17-18% margin about 5% margin for FY24. Are we like a little bit more bullish on this than on the margin side, because you know our current international segment is still at a much lower margin than?
Madhukar, this is Vivek. I think we can't give you guidance on this immediately as we are working through the synergies. You know, the objective is to take it to KFintech margin level over a period of time. As the synergies play out, you know, we will engage with you and other analysts to give you guidance on this asset as well. But the objective is to leverage operating synergies and IT synergies from India, from KFintech. And it will play out over a period of time. We can't tell you that 52% will move to 60% in 1 year's time, just like that. But the objective is to take the EBITDA margin to a level which is meeting the KFintech EBITDA margin level over a period of time. So I think to start with, that is what we are giving you, that we are working on synergies, and 52% gross margins are healthy margins. We want to take it forward in terms of achieving EBITDA margins by optimizing the, you know, the corporate layer of infrastructure and operations and IT. And we will share more details with you as we go along in terms of synergies realization.
Understood. So this makes sense. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Mohit Surana from HDFC AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. My question is around, if you can lay out here the deliberations that you would have had around, you know, the build versus buy arguments, especially in this case, because this seems like an organization which is, you know, more sales heavy, and also there is a fair bit of complementarity in terms of the geographies that you know, KFin operates as well as where Ascent operates. So it will be helpful if you can give those arguments. Yeah.
Sure. Thank you. So this is a long time in the making, isn't it? I mean, almost a little over a year. You know, we've always believed in a very healthy debate, and we have a very strong business development, you know, committee, board-led. And at any point in time, you know, we always evaluate anywhere between 3 to 5 potential opportunities, and we have dedicated capacity, you know, to do that. And this particular asset, obviously, you know, was, you know, straight into one of the three angles we always looked at in every asset. You know, one of that was either it adds a new business line or a new product. It opens a new geography, right? And or in rare occasions like how when we acquired Sundaram and BNP Paribas as fund house services, it is more to just drive market consolidation. And our, you know, focus and our preference was to less on consolidation and more on adding business lines and products and or new geographies. And, you know, we have been, you know, I think just before Ascent started its operations in 2019, 2018, 2017 is the time when we started our own journey in terms of international expansion. And we started that with, as I said, the RTA division of a large bank-based fund administrator in Malaysia. And, you know, we have seen over the past 5 years in terms of the expansion, we have moved from 0 clients to 72 clients. We have moved, you know, to add about 5% of total revenue coming from, you know, that part of the world. And I always try to emphasize that it sounds like elapsed duration is 5 to 6 years, but we really have to take out the 2 years of COVID when nothing happened at all in terms of, you know, global movement of contracting, what have you. So it's really a 3 year story as against a 5 year story. And in our discussions, you know, we always wanted, as I said, given the intent is not necessarily to drive market consolidation. You see, there are assets even today which are, you know, little similar to KFin, you know, more public market oriented, more RTA oriented, so on and so forth, and larger ones too, right? And, you know, obviously they also call for higher valuation, higher, cash flows, what have you. We were looking for an asset which is of a size which is more palatable. This also for our organization, that, as I said, is one of the larger deals that we would have done. So clearly, to build, this kind of a setup today, if we were to not have considered, acquisition and we were to build it ourselves, right? It required us, be able to create, sales organization in various countries where we did not necessarily have current, strengths and capabilities into. And these are all private, market funds, and KFin strength traditionally had been public market funds. So to that extent, especially the international private funds, which are very different. See, in India today, we manage 545 alternate investment funds, which are also private. But if you see the scope of services and the complexity of the funds here are still, reasonably benign as compared to the complex structures that you have beyond borders. So building that skill, scale and capability, securing the licenses in 6-7 different countries is an extremely complicated job, especially to secure licenses, or the clearances within India itself. So we looked at those angles, how quickly will we be able to get the licenses? How quickly will we be able to get the initial set of, clientele? How quickly can we get the leadership and the domain expertise? Which we so sorely miss, right? More than anything else, it's always about the people, as I keep maintaining, to get, that very high caliber leadership, highly inspired people, they are all within, 30 to 40 year age group, to be able to build something phenomenal is always a very important facet for us. So it was a, unanimous decision, when we've, found this asset. And, though our formal conversation started a year back, our informal conversation started nearly 2 years back, and it evolved. And it also gave us a ringside view in terms of how the leaders, have scaled up, how the organization has scaled up, the client feedback, so on and so forth. So overall, as I said, if you see the complementarity, we are public markets, they're largely private markets, we are mostly RTA, they are full-scale, fund administrator. We are more India and Malaysia, Philippines centric. They are more Singapore, Hong Kong, and Asia, Dubai, and Europe centric. There are a whole lot of complementaries we saw in this model.
You got it. Thanks a lot, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Due to time constraints, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Vivek Mathur for the closing comments.
Thank you. I think we are all very excited with this acquisition. And while it starts with 51% majority and board control, it will be a 100% owned subsidiary in 5 years' time. And everything, based on our plan and expectation should be funded internally. It puts KFintech as the first Indian company to be a global fund administrator, and we will see that the growth and trajectory and the updates about this asset we continue to share with you as we do our quarterly calls, and share more details as we get along in terms of the questions that you may have around some of the clients or margins or geographies, but 18 countries where the clients are present, plus, Bahrain and Thailand, almost 20 countries KFintech will be present in. And with the growth in fund administration business, which is projected, to grow at a pace of about, 6-7% to more than 10% in some countries, we will be able to leverage with the 6 licenses that we already have, and a team of business development heads in you know, all the 8 major geographies that Ascent is operating in. We will be present right from this day one. You know, thank you so much for participating in this call at short notice and raising your questions. Whatever is left out as questions, we are happy to take that offline. You can write to Investor Relations and engage with Amit Murarka. Thank you so much for joining today.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of IIFL Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. You may now disconnect your lines.